This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Cardinal Nation, how in the hell are you guys today? Welcome to this edition of Two Birds on a Bat. I believe today is it Tuesday, Will?
It is Tuesday.
It's the 30th of July. You got Steve-O here. Jimbo's still out on the West Coast.
A healthy scratch.
He is a healthy scratch today, taking a vacation. Intern Will here, always running the board, always doing good stuff for us, and he's got the computer open. I'm computerless today, so I'm going to go off of being blind here. So Will's going to have to participate a bunch. And then, as everybody knows and comes to expect, that the main man, the reason why you tune in and subscribe to Two Birds on a Bat, it's not to hear this clown that you're hearing right now, but it's to hear the number one Cardinal fan out there, Benji Molina. BMO, bring it home, bro. What's up?
What's going on, guys? I hope you guys are good after that big storm yesterday. That was crazy, but I hope you guys are good. Let's get it.
Let's get it going. Everybody's safe. Now the word on the street is that Jim had to go to Alcatraz. He's out in San Francisco, and I think he's heading up to wine country, but he escaped Alcatraz. Is that the truth?
I saw a few pictures that I couldn't believe where he was. You know how he doesn't fly. So I was like, wow, he made it all the way out there to San Francisco, and he's going to have fun because San Francisco is one of the most fun places that I ever been in, man. And especially when you say wine country, that Napa Valley is pretty crazy, man. So he's going to have fun. You watch.
Oh, I can imagine. So BMO is a player. And I know we've talked about your time here in St. Louis when you were a coach, and we've kind of joked about it, that you knew how to get from the airport to the ballpark, to the hotel, to the ballpark, and back to the airport. And that was like the extent of it. How about out in San Francisco, when you played at a place for as many years as you were there, what did you get to do? What kind of things as a ball player did you go out and do during off days or in the, you know, if you had a day game, go out in the evenings? What did you do out there in San Fran?
Well, there's a bunch of stuff to do. First of all, they have one of the best, not one of the best. They got a few of the best restaurants ever, you know, out there in the West Coast. That's one thing. Then they have their roller cars that it's like a go-kart, and you can just drive around in the street, in the middle of the street of every car, and you can take your daughter, your son, or whoever, and you can do that. And then you can drive around Napa Valley, which is a few miles away. Then you can go to Sausalito, I think. There are so many things that you could do. You can go on a boat, rent a boat, go out there. You can swim with the sharks. I mean, you could do so many things. And you can go to the marina and just hang out. I mean, San Francisco is one of my favorite places ever, man.
Now what's it like with, I mean, obviously, everybody out there that's listening, most of them are probably non-professional, non-Major League Baseball. I know we have a couple of dozen major leaguers that listen routinely to the show. But what's it like, the day in the life of a big leaguer? You get a day off, or are you just relaxing? Are you going for treatment? What are you doing, like, when you have, like, and now, yesterday was a day off, but a lot of the guys were, maybe could have gone to the Pujols thing, although I think they traveled. But what's it like if you have a day off in a city? What are you doing?
Usually the best thing that we do is wake up late, right? I mean, you try to rest as much as you can. Obviously after that, you go and like in the middle of the day, you just relax and stuff, and then you make plans for the afternoon. So wherever you go eating or wherever you go do your thing or visit Alcatraz and all that stuff, whatever you want to do, it has to be in the afternoon. Once you finish with that, you go just go back home, have a nice dinner with the family, or go to eat somewhere, you know, and dinner time. But those are the things that you just hang out. You just want to rest your body.
I can imagine that. I mean, the grind on these guys, 162 games, and all of them are dealing with nagging injuries, which we're going to get into a little bit today with the trade deadline looming. Normally, we come to you on a Monday, but Benji got to participate in the Pujols Foundation and the Tsunami Waves Foundation golf tournament yesterday, right? What was that like?
Oh, that was awesome. You know what? We couldn't play because obviously everybody knows it rained and they didn't want to destroy the field out there, you know, the course. They didn't want to destroy it. So we couldn't go out and play. But just being around so many celebrities and so many people that helped Albert and helped Tsunami Waves and Carlos Martinez Foundation, I think it was just awesome. It was the hockey players, Pat Maroon, and then there was Orlando Pace in the football. And there was the 2004 guys in Edmonds and Ray Lamford and Tony Womack, et cetera. So there was a bunch of people there. And we love it. Me and Paul were having fun out there trying to hang out with those guys while they decide what to do. I think it's a great event. I hope they reach what they wanted to reach, obviously, for the kids. So we love it, man.
Wow. Now, how about this Polo Asensio guy? I mean, his daughter, Bianca, posts on Facebook yesterday, like just a couple years ago, this guy was doing like an after prom MC and party on something like that. I mean, he's come a long way in a short period of time. This guy's at the top of his game and only getting better, isn't he?
Oh, man, I love Polo. I think he's a really good dude, you know, so that you got to get that out of the way. And after you're a good person and you have a good heart, he's a hard worker for sure. And me and him, we clicked since the first day. We always have been really cool. We always have tried to have the same mentality, which is have fun. So he did an outstanding job, man. Unbelievable job yesterday. He was the MC, man. And he was having fun with those guys. He was making people laugh. I think he's pretty cool. So we work out really good together, man. He's done great.
Yeah, this guy's as humble as they get, and I think he remembers where he comes from. And I'm proud to call him a friend. He's just a great guy, and just love seeing the success that a guy like that is having, just because he's a normal, everyday guy. And, yeah, you know, he's not a big league ball player. He didn't play NFL football, anything like that, but he's just worked his butt off and having a ton of success. And I love seeing the posts on Facebook about all that he's doing. And he's just happy and thrilled to be there. And I think he's just enjoying the moment just as much as anybody else, right?
Yeah, he is, man. He's having fun. And I love that. And you know what, the most important thing for me is that he involves his family. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like he knows, his family knows that he's over here working with one of the most exciting organizations ever. Ever. Not talking about just this year. Most exciting, like a team, you know, organization ever. And he still involves his family, which for me, It's something really cool.
Well, that's awesome to hear, but here's what we got. Is it still the 30th of July?
It is.
It is still? Okay, we haven't gone into...
One day, buddy.
We got one day left, and I want to go on a little... Here's the deal. I want to go on a little bit of a rant. Not necessarily, just about everything that's going on. All the people out there that are, you know, talking, we have to make a trade. We haven't been to the playoffs. And, you know, if we miss it this year, now it's 4 years. And all this is going on. I don't know how to, you know, half the people are in one camp, the other half are in the other camp. And no matter what happens, somebody's going to come out and be vocal about you did the wrong thing. Here's my question. I'm a huge Dallas Cowboy fan, right?
Oh, and why do you have to bring that up?
Well,
Elliott going to Pablo Sanlúcar. Come on, one of your your main players, one of your main players that you are fighting for a ring, you're fighting for a Super Bowl show up, and all of a sudden your best freaking player, which is under contract, bro, 2 years more is all he has to do, and now he wants out. Now he wants a better contract. Come on.
Well, we can get into that. We can get into how the NFL.
That's what we get from the Cowboys.
Come on, man. The NFL, these guys know. I can't believe that the running backs are under the same contracts as rookies, as quarterbacks, when they're wearing these guys out. But anyway.
He signed it, though.
Well, you have to.
Nobody else. He didn't have to.
Yes.
He could have said no back then. He could have said no and hold out back then.
Well, no, you can't. Not as a rookie. You're slated in there. So anyway, here's my thing, BMO.
When they offer you a contract,
right?
Like he did, you have the option to say no. But what did he do? Oh, I say yes. So he has two more years on the contract. Get the hell up and play. That's all I'm saying.
All right, that's going to be a discussion when you come on the Cowboys show here. But what I want to get to is the fact of the matter that you have a guy like Jerry Jones, the owner of your organization, that is super emotional, that is tied into the everyday. He is the face of the organization, no matter who the quarterback is, no matter who the running back is, no matter who the loudmouth receiver might be. Jerry Jones is the face of that organization. Would you rather have that from a fan's perspective, or would you rather have the Bill DeWitt, who sits back with a Mozeliak, and they're very cold, calm, and calculating, and they're not going to get emotional when it gets down to the trade deadline? They have a value that they put on a player or a position or, you know, what they need, and this is our value, and we're not going above and beyond that. If we can get that person for this value or not having to give up this much or over our budget, then we will make that move. Or do you want the Jerry Jones who goes out there and says, boy, I want Amari Cooper. I'm going to do whatever I need to do to get Amari Cooper. Because let me tell you what, I think it's 50-50. I think if you make that move and you don't win, people are going to rip you. If you don't make a move and you don't win, people are going to rip you. The only way you succeed is you have to win. And we know there's only one team that's going to do that every year. So what would you rather have as a fan? I'm sick and tired of listening on the radio about, oh my God, this is the Cardinals. This will be the fourth year in a row that they don't make the playoffs, if they don't make the playoffs, right? I'm tired of it. These guys are the professionals. Buy your ticket, go to the game, be entertained. Don't sit there and question them every time they do or they don't do something. Eventually, these players have to hit. Matt Carpenter has got to hit. If Matt Carpenter hit above his weight this far into the season, we would be 8 games out in front of the Cubs. If Goldschmidt did what he was supposed to do, minus these last 12 games, right? Had he had the first half like we expected him to have, we would be 8 games in front of the Cubs. Now, that being said, had Rizzo or Bryan or some of those other guys played as well as they have, been fine. But when you look at it on paper, are you telling me you're willing to mortgage the future of this team, the prospects that we have, to compete for a wild card, to compete and go nowhere? We're not as good as the Astros. Look at it. We're not as good as the Dodgers. Look at it. The Yankees.
But one thing, Steve-O, I'm with you in every way, right? 100%. I'm with you, and I understand your point. But we are also one player away from making it more than a wild card, right?
Absolutely.
One player, and then we are two players away from having a chance, like huge chance and percentage of making it to the World Series. That's how close we are. And if that means giving away not the top ones, because Look at what Strowman got. Look at what they got for Strowman. Nothing. Nothing. I mean, I'm not saying they're not good, but you know what I mean. Like, name guys.
Yeah, a couple prospects.
Anybody. All prospects. But not even the top five prospects. It was a top 17 or top 15 prospect. You see what I'm saying? So when you have those guys trying to make their team better, you're in first place tied. You're not in first place 10 games out. You are tied in first place. So anything can happen. And you're like, we don't have a number one spot. We have a number 3, 4, and 5. That's what we have. But if you add a Greinke, if you add a Bauer, if you add somebody that comes in and shuts the door down whenever he has to go out, I bet you anything, it makes the chances higher for us to make the playoff and go higher. Once you get out there, I know we're not, right now, we're not better than the Astros. And I know we're not better than the Dodgers and maybe the Braves or maybe whoever. We're not the better. But in the series, once you get in the playoff, who knows what can happen? We were not better than the Yankees. We were not better than the Twins. And we were not sure better than the freaking Giants. But we beat all three series. You see what I'm saying? So once you get into the playoff, anything can happen. The thing is, winning the division, getting into the playoff. But if we have one more guy as a starter, if you add it up and he's a named guy, he can take you every 5 days. And then the other guys can do their job and all that stuff, obviously. But it puts you closer to a World Series chance.
So now you got me back on trading. Let's trade. I want trades. Let's go. Will, what do you, I mean, Will, you came on the show the other day. You're predicting Marcus Stroman. He goes for a bag of used, you know, baseballs and two prospects. But he's going home to the Mets. So now who are you looking at? He's gone. I know you got the Diamondbacks pulled up there, and you're looking at Greinke and Robbie Ray. Greinke is $21 million a year for the next – is he under contract for two more years after this?
Yeah, he's got it's actually $31
million. 31, okay.
So
– okay, but forget the money because you know these guys have them. Just say if the trade's good or not because the money shouldn't matter to these guys. I know they do because they're business like you said, but if they want to win – they wouldn't have been thinking about the money. That's what I'm trying to say, right? So the $31 million, come on. You know, like they can easily make that up in 2 months in ballpark village or so. So they're doing good, man. You don't have to worry, you know?
No, I get it. So Greinke and Robbie Ray are definitely there. And I think probably if anybody had their pick, they'd rather have Robbie Ray. Just because of the financial security there as compared to Greinke being $31 million. But, you know, Bimo, I'm with you. I mean, we need a number one starter. And you didn't get help from Alex Reyes at all this year, which you expected to come back. Mm-hmm. You haven't had – Michaelis hasn't pitched up to what he was last year, which I think is we're seeing as, you know, maybe – he is what he is. That's why he spent so many years over in Japan pitching.
And that's why we're not running away from the division. It's that player right there that you just mentioned. Forget about Flaherty. Flaherty's young, and you're going to have the ups and downs with him. And plus, he's been pitching great. We just don't score when he pitched. So he forget about that. Michael is supposed to give you 15 wins. Steve-O, 15 wins.
Yeah.
And then by now, he should have had 10, right? If everything goes well. Right now, 10. Well, guess what? He doesn't have 10. You know? So those games, we would have been running away from the division. I really do believe that if we add up Robbie Ray, which it might cost you Dakota Hudson, or it might cost you one of those Wong and Hudson, or whatever you want to call it, it might cost you. Like, I heard Syndergaard. You know, Thor. Oh, go get him. Yeah, he sounds good, but you're going to have to let go Carson or that kid, Gorman, and you're okay with it, you know? Those are the things that people need to understand when they talk about trade. Right now, we cannot trade Fowler. Nobody's going to get him. We cannot trade Wong. Nobody's going to want him right now, obviously. If they change, yes. But no, they're not going to want him. But guess what? Who you got for trade? Who? A couple outfielders down in the minor.
A Rosarina?
Yeah. Yeah, and then your couple prospects, right? Your couple good players that you're trying to save. Those are the ones. And then you have to put one guy ready. Hudson is my guy because they're not going to take Waka right now. So, I mean, that's your options, right?
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, hey, here's the deal. Arizona, you can have Waka, Fowler, Wong. We're going to trade about six guys for one. Give us Robbie Ray, right? But no, and that's just not how it works. And unfortunately, in today's big leagues, that these general managers sit there and they place a value, and they don't get emotional. They're not baseball guys, most of them now. They're analytics guys. They're numbers guys. They fall in love with a number, not a guy. And that is the issue. They're going to sit back and they're going to play. You know, and realistically, the Cards, the Cubs, both in decent position to get, to get after each other. Milwaukee's right there in the mix. I don't think Milwaukee has much of a trade. I think what I was hearing was the worst minor league system, farm system in the league, in the big leagues now. But the real push out there, BMO, is a team like San Francisco. You know, what do they do? They've won, 26 of the last 36 or something crazy like that. They're on a hot roll, and they got Madison Baumgartner coming up on free agency. Are you a buyer or seller?
Well, you guess what? With the Giants, it's by winning these few weeks is making it hard for Will Smith to be dealt and Baumgartner to be dealt, the center fielder to be dealt, even Longoria, if he was healthy, he would have been gone. They already traded that center fielder, what was his name, McCutcheon. They got rid of him. But you see what I mean? Like, once you start winning and you have a feeling like you're going to make a run, and you're going to be okay. Here's the problem for us. The owners and the GM and everybody, whoever, those guys, when these guys are winning and they're in first place, they believe these guys can go all the way. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Just because they are in first place right now. They're not looking in the future. They're not looking into late August when you're like, oh, shoot, I wish I would have had that guy. And now the Cubs happen, or something like that. They don't look at it that way. They're believing right now that Flaherty can just cut fire at any moment. Like Hudson can keep pitching the same way. They're counting on Michael as winning the last nine starts. You see what I'm saying? They're counting on Carp coming in and hit seven home runs in 1 month and then keep going. They're counting on Fowler catching fire. They're counting on Wong keep hitting. They're counting on Bader just to turn it around, flip the switch, and now he's going to be good. That's why these guys are doing. They believe one team can do it, and they go for it. They keep it. That's why you don't see many trades. That's why you don't see guys like the Cardinals trading big trades, because they believe in these kids, and it could hurt you, in the long run, it could hurt you.
Right. And I agree with you. My frustration with everything is that we made our moves during the off season. I didn't hear anybody complaining when you signed Andrew Miller. Nobody complaining when you signed Goldschmidt. These were the big moves. These were our trade deadline. We're not supposed to be in this position, or maybe we were, maybe we are because we did, we're in first place.
Right.
But we're hanging up in here in the first place without Ozuna and Yadi and without Carp hitting.
Yeah, and Carp hadn't hit all year.
And he hasn't even hit in the minors.
I know, and that's what I'm saying. Like, we are here tied against the Cubs for the series, and Carp haven't hit all year, Yadi's hurt, and Ozuna's hurt. You see what I'm saying? And then Michaela is not pitching to how he normally does, right? So you have four situations, and you're still in first place. So that's what it tells me, that we need a couple guys. We might need at least one. You see what I'm saying? At least one we need to make this thing happen. I hope they understand that.
Okay, so let's turn the tables a little bit now. What's it like? What's the mentality in the locker room? I know we've already talked about it, and you said these guys in the locker room, they believe that as the club sits, they can win. So say they get a Greinke. Say they get a Robbie Ray. Say they get a Syndergaard. Okay? What does that do in the clubhouse compared to if they don't get anybody?
Well, it's totally crazy. If you get a guy, you get pumped up. You get excited. You know, like you want to get up early and come to the clubhouse. You want to keep fighting. If you don't get anything, it's the most devastating thing you can do to a club. That's one thing that the GM and the ownership do not understand, because they never played. You know, or they didn't play to where we are, whatever. But they don't understand that part. They do not understand. So guess what? We are going to get a guy, and these guys are going to fire it up, and wow, let's freaking go. And we don't get a guy, we're like, oh, you know, what the heck are we thinking? Dang it. You see what I'm saying?
Right, right.
And so on that's the, what he does to a club.
And on the adverse side of that, tomorrow at 4 o'clock, or whenever, I think it's 4 o'clock when the trade deadline ends, if you're the general manager out in San Francisco and you dealt Madison Baumgartner, what's the feeling in the clubhouse at that point? I mean, are these guys that have been on a hot streak, are they just like, crap, we're done? Or is it the next man up? Hey, let's keep playing. Let's show them we could do it without this guy. I mean, I guess there has to be – that's probably the public thing is, hey, let's go out. We can do it without him. You know, he's just a pitcher every fifth day. But internally, are these guys thinking, well, crap, they don't want us, you know, they don't want us to win this year. So why are we playing so hard?
Hey, buddy, at the beginning of it, you know, for the first 3 weeks maybe, or a month, it's going to be hurtful for them to trade Baumgartner, because they're believing they can win with him, right? That's their horse. That's the guy who they believe they can win with. All of a sudden, you get traded because you're going to get these guys, obviously, depending on who you get back. Because if you get Stroman for Baumgartner, you know what I'm saying? It you know, you can still think that way, that, okay, let's go get him. We have a shot and whatever. But it still gets you. It still hurts you when you lose a guy like that. Dude, when I got out, when they traded me to Texas, they had Buster Posey. It is way different from what we're talking about, right? Like if they were winning the Blue Jays and they traded him, and all of a sudden they get two prospects that not even close to being in the big league, that hurts. But for the Giants to trade me and have a Buster Posey behind me, I bet you anything they didn't even barely miss me. You know what I'm saying? That's different. But when these guys, they get a trade and you let go somebody and you're fighting to get in the playoff and you let him go, that hurts. And it kills the clubhouse.
Wow. I know there's a couple of restaurants out there in San Francisco that missed you, though.
Oh, my God. Heck yeah. You know it. You know it. I'm trying to remember a couple of them right now.
Hey, which brings me back to Jimbo. I mean, this guy's out in San Francisco, has to be one of the greatest places in the world to eat, right?
Great.
I mean, New York City, New Orleans, San Francisco. I mean, Italy, anywhere in Italy, right? Yeah. Those places, Florence or whatever. I've never been over there, but this guy.
You need to take Emily over there, man. It's really, first of all, it has everything, right? It has everything. Every way you look, Steve-O and Will, everywhere you look is a picture frame.
Well, right? I've been
That's
there.
The first thing.
Yeah.
You love it.
So
you love it everywhere.
So
but,
this guy, hey, this cat, this wait, guy that runs Francisco, the show, go ahead.
Well, San Francisco is romantic. It's a romantic city. So that's what I'm saying. You need to take Emily over there, man, because it's beautiful.
We'll do that after I go to, like, crabbing up in, what was it, Portland? Where are we crabbing? What's the island up there that we're going to?
Seattle.
Yeah, that's our next one. I'm going to go crab fishing, Dungeness crabs with BMO. But this cat, this Jimbo that runs this show here, the two birds on a bat, this guy doesn't eat seafood.
He's a waste, man.
He doesn't fly in planes.
He doesn't fly, and he doesn't eat seafood. What the heck, Jimbo? You're a waste, buddy.
I mean, what are we doing with this guy? This is our fearless leader, right?
He's wasting his life. Come on, buddy. Absolutely wasting it.
We got to break him of this, man. But he's out there. I said, listen, there's a place down from Pier 39 down there called Skoma's. Go eat there. It's like they literally bring the food in off the boat and just cook it. I mean, 22 steps maybe from the boat.
How much better do you want that?
It doesn't get any better.
I don't think it does.
This isn't Mississippi River shrimp. This is the freshest of the fresh. This is what you want to eat, and this cat doesn't do it.
I think we need to trick him. Call it, I don't know, call it like a calf steak or something.
I don't know. We got to do something.
Chicken,
yeah, absolutely, for sure. Well, folks, this is Two Birds on a Bat. Let's route off a couple of sponsors. Thanks to Patios, big sponsor of ours, Randy Green and his place over there for heating and cooling. Innovative Companies. What else he do? Plumbing, electrical.
I'm pretty sure he'd do anything you ask.
Does it all.
Does it all, buddy.
Yeah, Adam's Smokehouse, which I believe is the employer of our intern, Will, some days. So now have you been gaining any weight eating over there a lot?
I did for the first 6 weeks, and then I looked down and I realized, hey, I need to, you know, not do that anymore. So I switched from eating my favorite, the brisket, and started eating chicken and turkey, and still enjoying myself, but I'm also not, don't have the belt of fat.
Hey, Steve-o.
Yo.
Well, wait, let's ask Will. From a fan's perspective, right? Like, you played, but let's ask him and say, hey, what do you think they will do, and if you think they will do something, Will?
Well, I don't know what they're going to do, but I would like them to get a starting pitcher. I don't like their – well, I don't think they're done, but from what it looks like, their first two acquisitions are two middling relievers, and I don't think that's going to get it done. I think we need a top-line starter. I think the last couple trips of rotation we've had with guys not go to the fifth or the sixth inning and really put us in a bind. And then, so I think we need to get a starter that'll go six, seven innings, whether that's a Syndergaard, Greinke, Ray, whoever we can get.
Well, we know this, that you have to bridge a 31-day gap right now from August 1st to September 1st until you get your September call-ups, right? And then at that point, the bullpen becomes a moot point because you'll have 68 guys, you know, sitting down there ready to pitch. You're not going to wear your guys out. So those guys are, you know, going to have to be playoff roster guys. But then again, you switch down to, you know, go down to four starters. You're going to have a couple of your starters going to the bullpen if need be. But if you're going to get – if you're working on a middle relief guy – I just don't see where that gets it done, because you're talking that's a necessity for the next 30 days and then playoff time.
Their middle relief are doing a good job.
Yeah.
They have middle good relievers. They're actually in the top middle relief guys in the league, in the whole league. I mean, they're doing good. And the closing job, obviously, we have options in Miller and Carlos or whoever's available, right? But I think they need to concentrate in freaking starting, bro. I really do believe it, man. I mean, from my heart, I always said it. We need a hit. We need to do things, because if you want to win, you have to hit. That's no doubt about it. But also, a number one guy gives you that stability in their rotation. The other guys move out. You know, like Michael, instead of being in the number one guy in the rotation, we'll move to the number two, and then you move the guys, you know? So I really do believe that number one guy will get you to the playoff, and number one guy and another guy, if they can get two, it will be like almost World Series work, man. I really do believe it. With the addition of Osuna coming back and Yadi coming back, They just need that starting rotation to be settled, man. And we cannot have Posey de Leon not going three innings and then Walker going two out of the bullpen and three. I mean, that can't happen. I mean, I just don't understand. And then we cannot have guys hitting 150 for 2 months. Listen up. For 2 months, 150. 2 months. We have a guy here playing because he was playing and he was pinch hitting and he was playing in the late innings. We cannot have that if we want to win. No chance.
Well, I believe he's been optioned, right?
Yes, he's in AAA.
He's down in Memphis, and hopefully, you know, he gets a swing
how
right.
How about did you feel if we lose this division by one game and we had guys for 150 for a whole 2 months and other guys not hitting and whatever, and you lose the division by one game and you didn't do anything to improve your team? How bad is that, though, man?
Yeah, that's as bad as it gets. And much like everything else, in 162 games, there's going to be blame to go around everywhere.
Right.
You know, you got your superstar, Jordan Hicks, on the shelf now with Tommy John. And I know he struggled at times. You had Andrew Miller, your big acquisition, struggle early on with getting guys out in crucial situations. I mean, you've had, you know, guys that you counted on a Waka to be a solid, you know, 3-4 guy struggle. Mike Liss, your all-star, returning all-star struggle. Bader, who everybody went out and bought jerseys of, struggle. Carpenter hasn't hit, you know, the entire year. I mean, there's plenty of blame to go around in 162 ball games. But you're right, BMO. You lose a division by one game, and you will relive every loss. It's saying, man, that was it. We had it.
Mm-hmm.
We had it right there. And that's probably the frustration.
Yes. You add it up because all you're going to think about is we had a chance. We had one game to overcome in 6 months. But we had guys that couldn't hit for 2 months. And we're talking about one win. We're not talking about 7 games, 8 games, 9 games, 10 games. We're talking about one. And you had guys struggle for 2 months. Not only one, a few guys.
And there's a difference between, BMO, there's a difference between hard luck outs and just non-productive, you know, like overmatched outs. And that's what it was for 2 months. Okay, call a spade, but he looked clueless. Well, he didn't look like a major leaguer for 2 months. It had bad at-bats.
We had two starters. We had two and almost three starters, but at least two. We had two starters doing that and going through that whole horrible slump, right? And starters, like in the lineup, we had guys like that. And plus, we can name maybe one or two that had trouble for months at a time. That's not a recipe for winning. I don't think so. And we can win because we're there and we're close. But, man, I mean, if we can get one starter and maybe somebody to help the team just, you know, fill up the load that they need to do, I mean, I think we just take this to another level.
Right. Well, as we sit, we're 23 hours away from trade deadline.
We're sitting in first place.
We're sitting in first place. There's guys to be had out there. And Will, I think you're on the right track. I think you're looking at Arizona. I think that's it. I'm not sure the Mets move on from Syndergaard. I'm not sure that the Giants move on from Baumgartner. And I'm not sure Cleveland moves on from, who is it, over there, Trevor Bauer?
The guy that throws the ball over center field.
And that was a hell of a throw, by the way. That's... I love that one.
You would have hated to get hurt on that one, huh?
The only thing I could think of, BMO, was that old kicker, what was it, Martin Gramatica, that hits like a 51-yarder or something like that and goes and celebrates jumping up in the air and blows his knee out. That's the only thing I can think of. A guy, and there's a lot of guys. I mean, I played ball with high school ball with a kid that made it to the big leagues. Who got frustrated, pitcher, pulled out of the game in a major league game and goes in and punches like the Gatorade cooler, broken hand.
Yep.
Now, anybody that has a brain in their head would know from the movie Bull Durham, hit with your non-pitching hand. Okay? Come on. We got to be smarter.
But you're still an idiot.
Exactly.
Take that label off from your back. You hit it with the left, you hit it with whatever you want, but you're still an idiot for doing it.
Oh, for sure. For sure. But I'm with you guys. You guys got me talked into it. I want to trade. I'm going to rant and rave and scream and yell on Monday if we don't have somebody, a number one starter here. Give it up. Let's go. We got plenty of guys down there. We got some decent prospects.
But we have to understand that to get a guy, we have to spend a guy. It's not going to be free. You know?
True.
If you guys want a number one guy, you're not going to spend just anybody. It's going to be a couple good players that we're going to lose. And if you're good with it, that's fine. I mean, Syndergaard here in St. Louis, I don't care how many prospects we lose. I would love to see that one here.
I would love to see him after the game standing out by the guy that dresses like Superman and takes pictures for $5. I think we could pay for his salary just if he did that.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I'm with you.
And a matter of fact, I haven't seen that guy this year down at the ball game. But
he's frustrated with the organization.
He's frustrated, too. Right. So, hey, BMO, you'll be happy to know I got to the game the other night. You got me the tickets. We walked in. I walked right by the Philly cheesesteak place. I didn't even bat an eye.
I really heard that that's not going good.
It can't go good. If you want to change something in the organization, if you don't make a trade, or if you only have one trade to make, I think you need to trade back for the old Philly cheesesteaks.
Yeah.
Or get some Adam's Smokehouse in there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Adam's would be good in there. And I've moved on to the pulled pork nachos where you load them up yourself. Pretty darn good. Pretty darn good. But
hey, that Philly cheesesteak needs to be back.
Yes.
We don't like this one right now.
Well, like I said, I even went to Philadelphia and had cheesesteaks up there, and they were terrible.
Yeah. Did you go to that place where it's in the corner, like it has two streets?
Yeah. Pat's and Gino's. Terrible.
Gino's, yeah.
Tourist trap. One. Listen, folks, Cardinal Nation, if you go to Philly, do not go to Pat's or Geno's. They are on a hard boycott, okay? Hard boycott, Cardinal Nation. Do not go there. There's supposed to be a place. I had it like 25 years ago down on Broad Street. It's called Jim's. Try that. Try local taverns. Do not go to Pat's and Geno's. They are horrible, and I hope they're listening. And what they really need, if you want me to get on my soapbox, what I really need to do is like a show on the Food Network. And instead of like these guys like this Guy Fieri and this and Andrew Zimmerman that go there and they base, oh, man, this is great. This is earthy. They need somebody that tells the truth and is like, really? This is crap. Why would I eat this? So that's what they really need is somebody that gives the truth, because I'm sick of listening. I had that other Primanti brothers up there in Pittsburgh. It's terrible. Brutal.
Oh, man.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, you're true, man. You're true. You're just saying the truth. That's fine.
And we get off track here. See, this is why Jim hates when the inmates run the asylum in here. He was so nervous. Benji, he's been so nervous with me on the mic. And, like, he...
Hey, we got to get nervous for him for freaking taking his wife all the way in train.
Oh, that's crazy. I hope she's actually going to get in some good food, and he can have like a... Oh, the other thing he said. Listen to this one. It has to be midnight our time. And he sends me a text, or he might have called, and he goes, I don't understand this whole In-N-Out burger. That's terrible.
Oh, my gosh.
Benji, you ready for this? I said, did you get the double-double animal style? He goes, no, I got a single plain cheeseburger. I go, what are you, 12?
Yeah, seriously.
He goes, well, He goes, what's animal style? I said, they put some, like, onions on it and some sauce. He goes, I don't do sauce.
Oh,
and then he tried Whataburger, so that was brutal, which I agree with him. Whataburger's terrible. It's like a floppy sock.
Jimbo, if you're going to be listening to me, Jimbo, this is my advice to you, buddy. You should go on your knee and pray to God and say thank you for the nice wife that you have, buddy. Every single day, you should go on your knees and say a prayer for your wife. Because, wow. Wow. Yeah. You don't fly. You don't eat this. You don't do that. You don't do that. And she's still with you, buddy.
A lot to put up with.
Go pray every day.
She's a saint in my book with this guy.
Saint. Exactly.
But
he's a freaking saint. That's why he needs to go on his knees.
Hey, so it's a 3-week vacation he's on, and he's literally only gone for 10 days, but it takes him like 6 days to get there and 6 days to get back because I think he's on like the Pony Express or something. He can't fly. It's unreal.
It's not can. He won't.
He's probably riding on that UPS kind of bus.
He might be going by Clydesdale.
Guys, Cardinal Nation, when you listen, here's the deal. What I want you to do, you're listening to the show. If you know of a good place to eat out in San Francisco, you got to tell Jimbo, hey, you got to go here. I guarantee.
No, but he doesn't eat it, though.
He probably won't eat Chinese food.
Yeah, he would not eat it. That's the problem.
This guy goes, we go to Mexican places, right? Mexican food. And he gets like, I just want meat and cheese in my tacos. No, that's it.
Man, no. We need to work on Jimbo. Well, maybe not. Maybe we don't need to work on
him. Boy, oh boy. Well, I tell you what, we're down to 23 hours. We got a lot of stuff going to happen in the major leagues. It's an exciting time. I don't think that anybody is disappointed where we're at. I think that the Cubs and Milwaukee have played down hopefully to our level because we have not played to our potential.
Right.
And we know that. So I'm excited about this last stretch of meaningful baseball. We got, what's our record?
56-49.
All right. So we're 7 games above, is my math right? Seven yes. games above 500. 56-49. Our next couple of games are against Chicago.
And then Oakland.
And then Oakland. And then LA, right?
Yes.
So, but before we get back, we'll be done with Oakland. 2-game set in Oakland?
Yeah.
3 against Cubs, 2 against Oakland.
Yes, and that's the next 5 games. And the last time we made a prediction, we were right. We said they'd go 5-2. They went 5-2.
Ah, boy, I thought we had something there against Houston. I thought being on a roll that, man, after that first game, that even if you split the next two, but we did not look good in those next 2 games.
No, we crapped the bed.
Yeah. I can't believe we spent.
But. They took Tua, too.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't just like we gave it away as much as they could hit. Oh. I mean, they came up that last day. Alvarez is a monster. He just took it to us, man. And then Gurriel getting hits, and then Correa getting homers and hits and everywhere. Altuve with a 3-run shot. Springer right away. I mean, I'm telling you, they took it to us, too, you know.
Who is that guy? Is it Yonder Alvarez?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, he's a big prospect for them from Cuba. And you saw, he got like 12 home runs, bro. Like, he broke Pujols' RBI for the first 30 games.
That guy's ridiculous. And here's the most special player in all of baseball is Altuve.
Oh, he's one of my favorite dudes, man.
I mean, this guy is 100-0, 5-foot-0, and he just flat out rakes and he plays ball.
Oh,
and
a 3-hole hitter.
Yeah. And it hits in the 3-hole.
Go to Google when you have a chance or YouTube or whatever and find how he works out. When I shake his hand, I hold his hand and his whole hand fits in my hand. Like, it's so little. And you're like, how the heck does this guy do it? But go to YouTube or Google, whatever, and you see put Altuve's workout.
Okay.
You will see why this dude is so special.
And I'm going to look that up because I'm interested, but I want to know how. How does a guy like that just pound baseballs? I mean, that's.
First of all, he ain't afraid to swing. When you're afraid of swinging, you're not gonna be a good hitter, right? That's the first thing. You gotta swing. They don't get walked, even though he does. But he, you can get him out of the zone. What I mean, right? So he can swing, man. He can swing the bat, and he knows the strike zone. And when, let me tell you this, Steve-O and Will, you whenever you swing a strike, you're going to be hitting 300 easy. Because the problem when somebody doesn't hit strikes is because you try to hit the ball out of the zone.
Trying to do too much?
Yeah, try to do too much. And believe me, we've seen it here in this club. If they just try to hit strikes, I mean, obviously it sounds easy, but it's just the truth. Why do you think those guys like Springer and Correa and Altuve, why do you think they can hit? It's because they can lay off the ball, most of them. They can lay off, and they can hit the strike. And that's what Altuve does, man. He has a very good idea of the strike zone. He knows what he's doing out there. He has the swing. He has confidence, and he's not afraid. Dude, he's my favorite player other than Yadi. Him and Arenado.
All right. I'm a big Baez guy, too. And that's just because he's another guy that's not afraid to swing, and he's slick. Take away the uniform, yes. But I just look at Altuve the other night, and I've seen a ton of highlights. But this guy's just he is a ball player. And the things that he does and the power he generates is just unbelievable. And for those people, and I know these guys all know this out there in Cardinal Nation, but there's different bats, different sizes. I would be interested to hold one of his bats and find out if it's, you know, which model it is, if it's end loaded, if it's balanced, if it's a 34-inch, if it's a 33, you know, what's he swinging? Because
it's a 34 with 32-ounce, and he looks huge. The bat looks huge, Steve-O and Will, because he's 5'6". You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's why the bat looks like it's a 36 on his hand. But it's not. It's a 34, 32. Normal bat for anybody over 6 feet, right?
Right. What did you swing?
I swung a 33.5 with 34 ounces.
Okay, so you went up in weight, which is in non-professional baseball is rare, you know, basically unheard of.
And right here in the big league, just so you guys have an idea, the average weight on the bat is 31 and 30 ounces.
Okay.
Can you believe that? I saw a bat of Yadi the other day. He wasn't using it, but he had it in the locker, and it was 29 ounces.
Wow. Yeah, I would look at Yadi's bat, except for you took the one you gave me. and you took my Baez bat. Oh man, that's the stuff that and I apologize, guys out there that is listen. I get off on a tangent, but that's the stuff I'm interested in. Because playing the game, I love that stuff. I love the little quirks of it. I love to watch, you know, when we went to games back in the 80s, I love to watch the communication between the fielders. They don't do that anymore because there's so much pregame. There's so many, they already have the cards on everybody.
And then they have that little cheat sheet.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have the cheat sheet and then they look at it and they move. They don't have that feeling. They don't have the feel for it. You know what I mean? Like the feel of, okay, I got to move. Okay, I got to move. The curveball's coming. He's going to pull it. You know, they don't have any of that anymore.
Yeah, it's I kind of miss that, but, you know, like I said, just the equipment that they use, just the, you know, finding out what the bats feel like, what these guys are going through,
And remember, guys, whenever the August and September comes in, if you hit with a 32-ounce, you're going to end up with a 30. When I hit 34-ounce, it was only until September. When September came in, the first of September, I went down one ounce, 33 or 32 ounce at times, because your body's already beat up and your body's already trying to catch up with being tired and being so much swing over the course of the season. So those are changes we do too.
Interesting. That's interesting to me.
Let me tell you this one. You know Robbie Alomar?
Yeah. Right?
The Hall of Famer. One of my best buddies and one of my best favorite players too. So he hit with the 33 size bat. That's what he does. 33, and I don't remember the weight. I think it's 32 or 33 ounces. When September comes, he cut literally saw down 1 inch from the bottom. like literally saw it down himself. 1 inch, and now he hit in September with a 32.
Really?
That's how he did it. And no wonder when I saw him in September, I saw the bat all shoved up in the bottom, and I'm like, what the heck is that? He doesn't have the cup, and he doesn't have the round thing that they have at the bottom. And then I asked him when we went to a Caribbean World Series together, and he told me, he goes, yeah, I start with a 32 ounce, and then a 33, and then when I get to September or playoff, I hit with a 32. I'm like, holy crap, man, and this is Robbie Alomar.
Yeah, I got like 17 Ozzie Smith game-used bats, and they go from anywhere from 32 to 36 inches. I mean, there were times where he would swing a 36-inch bat.
Yep.
And that's
another era.
Yeah.
When I played, the reason I used 34 ounces is because when I got to the big league in 98, I had Mo Vaughn, Cecil Fielder. I had big dudes, you know, and that game was way different from now, so they all hit over 34-ounce bats, all of them. Everybody in the club was hitting with 34-ounce bats and 36-ounce bats. So I was like, dude, I cannot lift a freaking 36, 34 bat, man. He goes, yes, you can. Go for 34. And that's when I started. Before I even made it to the big league as a starter, I was hitting with a 34-ounce.
Unreal. Mm-hmm. That would feel like so much weight to me.
Nah, you know what, Steve? You put two double barrel donuts.
Yeah.
You do really four or five hard swings before you go up to bat, and you won't even feel it.
All right.
You won't even feel it.
A little bit more ass in the barrel.
I never felt it was heavy. Never.
Wow. I don't know. All right, well, let's see what the next 5 days holds in the next 23 hours. Cardinal Nation, appreciate you guys listening to me ramble on for about an hour. It's been an interesting
great
hour,
talk,
Will.
Great talk, man. It's been great talk.
Great yeah. talk. It is, and this is fun for me.
Yeah,
so.
It's fun for
real
me, too.
Talk.
All right. BMO, thanks, brother. Appreciate it. You enjoy your next 5 days. We'll talk to you on Monday, right?
You got it, buddy.
All right, Will, thanks so much for being in here. And sure. Sorry we're getting us out a day late, but we are hoping to have a big move, a lot of things to talk about with the trade. I guess we'll have to wait one more day.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't get to any video on Benji hitting golf balls yesterday because they were rained out, but it is what it is.
That's okay. We saw that highlight of the cycle.
Yeah. I didn't hit a car or anybody.
didn't hit any houses out there. All right, guys. Cardinal Nation, until Monday, go Birds!
Go Birds!
Let's go Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.